So tonight, this session number 15, this is Content Factory Week. We're circling back around to Content Factory. We're calling this Planting Your Flag. And we're making our best ideas unstealable and uncopyable. And we do that by teaching what we believe. I want to start by giving some special consideration to PLR users. And I'm going to edit this out, so this is not going to be in your recording. This is going to be just for PLR users for this particular part of the session. And anytime you're going to be adding to PLR, it's important to get the form right in terms of what you're going to add to PLR. It's more important to get the content right. So it's not just, you know, how you add stuff to what you're putting in, but it's really what you add. And when we say, you know, making sure that it's right, we mean is making sure that it's something that you uniquely communicate. You know, we call it your USP. What are you known for right now? And you may not feel like you're known for anything. What do you say all the time? What do you teach all the time? What is your take on what it is that's going on inside of your sub niche? If you are, let's say, a local marketer, what's your take on your local town, business in your local town? Whatever your position is, that's what you're known for. And it doesn't matter what you're rebranding. You want to make sure that what you're known for shows up in your rebranding. So again, what are you adding to the PLR? You are adding your unique take and how you look at things. That's really what makes any PLR unique, even when you're doing and working over video. In some cases, you know, this part of it's going to be even more important than the underlying content because, I mean, people come to you because of you. They don't come to you just because you got a course on something, right? They come to you pretty much because of your take on it, and you want that to be the case. Even with video PLR, if you're going to do an opening slide, you know, your statement, when it first comes to it, should reflect your core philosophy. What do you believe? Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be deep. It just has to be what you think, right? And so, you know, what can you add? You can rename stuff. So in other words, always give things different names when you get PLR. Rename it to your philosophy. Whatever your core names are, make sure that you're renaming things according to what it is you're talking about. So again, you know, saying things like, remember, as a trainer, we will be using the term, you know, whatever your term is. But the trainer is going to be using this term. This is what we define as whatever your term is, right? So any PLR you get, make sure you're renaming it using your perspective, using your terms. Restructure things. So if you get a set of ideas, you get a set of principles inside of PLR and you want to use that PLR, make sure that you cover it according to your perspective. That's how you redo things. In other words, you say things like, remember, the trainer covers this as a third step. Well, that's one way to do it. Remember, I recommend you do this step last and then let the PLR play or let the PLR go. So again, when you add stuff, the way you add value is you rename things according to your names. You restructure things according to your structures. You also want to add authority when you can. In other words, you say things like, giving you a different perspective, make sure you understand, you know, if you're the subject matter expert or you work with a subject matter expert, make sure that you say, this is what so-and-so thinks. This is what Mr. Johnson thinks. This is what Roger thinks. You want to make sure that you implement that and you say that inside of what it is that you're putting into the PLR. In other words, When you add content to PLR content, rename things according to your names. Restructure things so that it fits your order. Give authority to your authority figures. In other words, just because PLR adds, you know, a specific authority or a specific case study doesn't mean that's going to be a sufficient authority. If you have authorities that give weight to the things that you say, for example, since we're in the PLR part, and this is going to be part I'm going to be editing out, if you have kept up with some of the things we've talked about, you know one of my authorities that I speak to is Dr. Elihu Goldratt, who is a proponent of the theory of constraints. If I'm going to redo PLR and I see a case where, let's say, someone's talking about software, I'm going to put in there that Dr. Goldratt says that when you buy software, it must diminish a lack of capability that you have. That's something that I would do. So whoever your subject matter experts are, whoever your authorities are, you want to add that to whatever content you're going to remake and redo. So again, rename, restructure. I couldn't figure out a way to say reauthorize or something, right? But you know, you're gonna add new authority. In other words, add content to ways that are going to be unique to you. Connecting with the people on the basis of your philosophy. That's what you should be doing in any kind of product that you're going to be doing. You want to be connecting with customers and prospects and members on the basis of your philosophy, right? So it's not just going to be direct response. Again, direct response is great, and because it allows you to get to the heart of what a customer really wants. You're getting down to their emotions. You're getting down to their base, you know, responses, and then you're getting them to respond to your product, which is fine. But over time, you are going to want to build a relationship with that customer on the basis of him or her, he or she being in sync with the reason why you create the things you're doing. You want them to be resonating with you on that way because they're going to be the repeat buyers that you have. Direct response is always going to be valid. It still works. It's always going to work. You want to have people, though, that are going to be congruent with you, right? Because you want to have those people that, again, they're not going to buy on the basis of price. To some degree, when you have a direct response buyer, they're going to respond on the basis of price. They're going to respond on the basis of scarcity. They're going to respond on the basis of urgency, which is great. Again, right? Because you can sort of get people to get off the fence with direct response tactics. They are psychological triggers. However, you will not build the deep kind of relationship that you want where you can pitch something that's going to be a little bit of a higher price because of the higher value. And if somebody understands where you're coming from, you're going to be able to build that connection with them and get them to buy more and to buy longer. Right? But you've got to make sure people understand what you believe. And again, not everybody's going to resonate with this. Not everybody's going to even hear what you're saying. Right? I'm not saying go out and just start, you know, talking in flowery language and getting into philosophy, but people need to know what you believe. And it takes something, and you've got to be adamant about communicating, which is sort of why we're talking about this now. It needs to be every day. It needs to be in every product. It needs to be on every sales page. It needs to be in every blog post. It needs to be at the bottom of your emails. It needs to be on your business cards. It needs to be in your books. It needs to be in your products. It needs to be in your member area. It needs to be in your thank you page. It needs to be every place. What you believe should come out. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have the exact words in all those places, but your ideas, right, your core philosophy on how your customer needs to be living their life needs to be on everything. Now, and so you got to be consistent in what you communicate. Every way that you're communicating, you got to be consistent in communicating this core philosophy to them so they understand, you know, that they're with you. And when they're buying, what they're doing is they're really agreeing with themselves. Right now, what does it mean to have a philosophy? And I want to get down to this, what this really means. What do I mean by philosophy? So I'm not talking about, you know, a deep psychological term. I'm basically talking about guiding principle. What is it? What is the guiding principle as to how your customer needs to live, needs to do business, needs to lose weight, needs to do whatever it is? What's the guiding principle? What are the core principles? How do they need to behave? Right? You need to define that. How does your customer need to think? You need to define that. And again, I'm not saying that you have to browbeat people, but you should be communicating how you believe your customers should be thinking, not just how they should be acting. Of course you want them to buy, but once you get them to buy, you should be talking about ways to help them to think. Yes, when you get a good direct response customer, you've given them what they want. Now what you've got to do as a good, you know, as a good partner with them, as someone who's really looking out for their best interest, you've got to tell them what to think. What do people need to be doing? So again, you are communicating this in your core philosophy. Now again, it's not mandatory to do it this way, but you have to be clear about what it takes for people to be successful with your products or services. What are they going to have to do? Right? What kind of person are they going to be successful with your products and services? Now, that's not to say they're not going to be successful unless they buy from you, right? I mean, you could say that. I don't like saying those kinds of things, but some people say those things in their sales page. You can say them if you want. I don't like saying that you're not going to make it unless you do it with me. No, that's not necessarily, but I think, you know, people can be successful in a number of different ways. And so you do want to say that they can be successful with you if they will abide by some things, if they will abide by some principles, if they will abide by your way of doing business. If your way of doing, let's say, if you're talking about local marketing, if you're talking about doing business in a local area, what does your customer need to be doing, right? What should they be doing according to your core philosophy, right? It should be different from what they're hearing from other places. And this can be the case regardless of what niche you're operating in. If you're doing personal development, you should have a core philosophy. If you're doing weight loss, you should have a core philosophy. If you're doing, you know, information marketing, as a number of you are doing, you should have a core philosophy. Right? Whatever niche you're operating in, you need to have a core philosophy. Name your systems. Whatever you're doing, it should be a unique name and it should be brandable. I'm not saying you have to go out and trademark everything, but you should name your systems. If you're communicating your philosophy on a regular basis, you need to give people the names, right? When I say names, that you should be known for. Now, I will say this also now. If you're going to just take somebody else's idea and rename it, just do it in a way you still give them credit for it. Right, you can say something like Stu McLaren calls this his success path. We prefer to call this a playbook, our insider playbook. Right, I could do it just that way, and I do it that way. At the same time, you got to give people a new perspective on the matter. So, in other words, use the name you give the concept. So, don't use, you know, Stu McLaren's success path. You use your name and make sure it's going to be different, and it's going to abide by your philosophy and your principles. And this has got to be based on what you believe, right? What do you believe about, you know, information marketing? What do you believe? What do you believe about personal development? What do you believe about writing Kindle books? What do you believe about low content marketing? Whatever you believe in your sub niche, your names should be based on what you believe. They should be based on your experience. So in other words, you know, if you've done things a different way and you don't believe what the, I don't know, whoever the guru is, whoever the authority is in your market, say that. It should be part of your personal, it should be part of your, you know, your philosophy, and document it, right? It should be based on your documentation. You've got to teach your philosophy on a regular basis, which is pretty much what I said, in everything. So everything that you have, everything that you've got out there, everything that's a blog post, it's a video, someplace in there should be your core philosophy. You got, and now again, I hope you're doing a weekly workshop, but it should come out in your weekly workshop, your core philosophy. It should come out in that. You should be teaching and integrating it into your daily newsletter. You're writing people on a daily basis, which I hope you're doing. You got to be putting your core philosophy. And again, let's say you don't want to sell, which you should be doing in your emails, but even if you don't want to do that, one of the reasons you need to write on a daily basis is so that your people will understand where you're coming from. So again, I mean, I don't recommend that you just write and pontificate on stuff. Nobody wants to read that. But if it comes between not writing and you writing and communicating your core philosophy, I say write on a daily basis and at minimum communicate your core philosophy. Right? Integrate it into your daily newsletter. Create products around your philosophy. So in other words, whatever you think you believe, your product should reflect that. Your product should look like that. It should look like you believe what you think. Video products, audio products, PDFs and check, whatever it is, whatever you deliver, it should look like, well, hey, you know what? The reason this person does this and gives us this or gives it to us this way is because it's what they think. It should be reflective of the way you deliver stuff. Now, this should not be the entirety of your activity. You know why? Because it's probably not going to generate a lot of sales all the time. That's not even the point of this. The point is that you put your ideas, make them available, make them widespread so that when the idea is spoken, it's associated with you. It should be associated with you. So whatever the core idea is, what you don't want to do is you don't want to have somebody out kind of just kind of talking about it, because, you know, the internet's kind of, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like that, right? Somebody kind of hears something and they repeat it. And even though it didn't come from them, you know, they repeat it long enough, they start to think, well, man, this is my idea, right? And it really was your idea, but you didn't put it enough out there and you didn't make it available enough. And all you did was you just kind of spoke it in secret. And you know what? That's going to be the loudest person's idea then. You have to communicate your ideas, make them available, make them public, and publish them. Publish your ideas. What you're doing when you document your philosophy and you publish, you're planting your flag, right? You're saying, I declare this about, you know, whatever the niche is. This is what I think. And again, I don't even think you have to be right, right? It's just, you've got to be able to communicate it. You got to be able to communicate it early and often. The main tool for this, and I know nobody wants to do it because I don't want to do it. I know you don't want to do this. A few of you do. I know a few of you do blog, but you need to blog. And this is one of the reasons why you need to, because you need to plant your flag. Now, if you're writing on a daily basis, it's not going to be hard. You're going to take your email newsletter and turn it into your blog. You should be writing on a daily basis if for no other reason than to your daily newsletter. And you're giving people the opportunity to hear your thoughts. And again, I'm not saying it's got to be the whole newsletter, but it should be in there. Right, it should come out in little sentences. It should come out in little paragraphs sometime. It should be coming out in your PS. It should be coming out in a, by the way, you know, I just want, you know, as I was thinking about the whatever your core idea is, and then you get into your message. It should always be communicated, whatever your core philosophy is. And it should be inside of that newsletter. And if you're communicating core principles, you got to double document. What do I mean by that? In other words, you double document by taking what's in that newsletter, you take it and put it in your blog also. It's work. And you may, now if you have people that you outsource to, or even if you don't, you got to turn that email into a blog post. And you got to have your core philosophy in that email. Right? Now again, now you might take that email that you turn to your blog, and what you might do is you might then expand on it for that particular day. But you should be taking that email and putting it in a blog post, making sure that it is unique, making sure your core philosophy is in there. Once you have 100 posts or 300 words, then you got to put it in a book, right? How many of you all struggle with writing a book, right? How many of you struggle? Now, I'm the only one can need your answers. How many of you all feel, because you're so busy? I know you information marketers are busy, and you're busy doing things, and you don't have time to write a book even though you want to do one. And again, I know, you know, there's write a book in the weekend and, you know, just talk it out. But look, take that daily newsletter you're writing and turn it into a blog post, and then at some point collect those blog posts and turn it into a book. Get 100, that's about 3 months, 3.5 months, that's your book, right? You could probably put together 3 or 4 in the course of a year, right? Put them in the Kindle. Turn that Kindle again. I think with Kindle, I'm pretty sure it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to turn that into a paperback. And you know, if you've got a little scratch to work with, get somebody to read it. I don't suggest you narrate it. Get somebody to narrate it, because you know you've got to continue to do what you're doing in order to generate an income. I mean, your job's not to, you know, create audiobooks. I would suggest you find a narrator and get them to narrate your book. Now, here's why I'm saying all this. I know that, you know, with your super big and most expensive ideas, you're probably going to trademark them. But every idea, if you tried to trademark and copyright them all, it's really cost prohibitive. It's not even possible. But what you can do is make it so that somebody would look really silly by repeating your idea when it's known that you're the one that came up with that idea first. You can do that. And you do that by being prolific and consistent about getting your idea and making it available. You know, what you want to happen is you want somebody to hear an idea and say, you know what, that sounds just like James, right? You know, I was on a call, you know, James has that in his book. You know, James says that in his product. You know, James has that in his, on these audios, on his podcast. He's always talking about that sounds just like James. And if you were James, that's what you want to happen, right? You want people to say, hey, that sounds just like that guy. That sounds just like that woman, you know, that has that podcast or has an information product. You want people to say that when they hear that idea, wherever they hear it from. Okay, any questions?